and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We're going to study Malachi today. We're on the study guide for the major clues from Minor Prophets. Right, Miss Tammy? You ready? I know you're always ready. I love it. Yes, I just love you so much. So yes, and we love you guys, everybody who's here with us. We're just so glad that we're here together. What an amazing thing we can do. We can share and learn all about God's word together. It's just really so much fun. And I love having you guys on the chat. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you. And so we are going to study Malachi. Now, Malachi, it says parental discretion advice. I really do think that if you've got kids nearby, you know, put the earbuds in or something, because so we're going to be talking about some things that are just a little bit rough.
I really do think that if you've got kids nearby,
What's going on? Y'all hear? Okay, there's two Mellies. I got to figure out why there's two Mellies. Okay, not sure why there's two Mellies.
Maybe that was mine. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay,
that's okay. All right, so good. It's not me this time. It's always me. All right, so we're going to be studying Malachi, and it's going to be some rough territory to cover, but it really makes sense. You know, if you've read Malachi before the Great Awakening, you might not have understood it. I certainly didn't. But now we do. Now we understand what's going on, so that's why we're in the fight. That's what woke us up, and we're like, okay, we can't put up with this. So, yes, we'll go ahead and start, and we'll pray, and then we will get started. Don't forget, hit the like button, everybody. Then continue to please share this. It's just so great that you guys are sharing it. We're starting to grow. People are starting to see. I think they're starting to realize this is biblical. This is literally biblical, what we are experiencing, and so it's very exciting. So let's pray. Again, Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are the King of the world, that you have put your word here for us, and you have touched us by your Spirit. You've awakened us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came and you talked to our hearts and you woke us up. And you have, ever since then, you've spurred us on and you've joined us together, and that you have a strong reason you woke us up, a strong purpose for such a time as this that you woke us up. And Lord, as we have read some of these things, it's been really daunting and really difficult to grapple with some of these difficult truths. But you've given us the courage to face it. And so, Lord, as we study today, we just ask you to help us to understand what was going on then and what's been going on now, so that we can help others to understand, so that we can all join it with one voice in one chorus worldwide and cast these demons out. Thank you for our president. Thank you for the peace that's settling over the world. Thank you for the wealth that will settle over the world. Thank you for our sovereignty being restored to us. Thank you that we are seeing not only the Great Awakening, but the Battle of Armageddon and the end times for them, and 1,000 years of peace for us. Thank you for the golden age that is coming and bursting forth upon us even now. Thank you for the love that we have for you and for each other, and just the joy that we are experiencing and that soon everyone will experience. We praise you that you bought all this for us. You redeemed us from the pit by your own blood, Lord Jesus. We love you forever and appreciate you and thank you so much. In your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, let's do this. Let's do this. So if you don't already have the book, you can go on Amazon. You can get the study guide right there. I just realized, Miss Tammy, we need to put it on the website. That I don't think the End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophet study guide is on there, I think. Anyway, but you can get it on Amazon. Just type in, what you'll want to type in is End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets for Beginners. And as I always say, now this one's the End Times one. If you want to really know the decode of Revelation, that's that one there. But I always say, you know, we have the study guide answer keys. But what I really want you to do is the study guide yourself before you cheat and look at the answers in the answer key, okay? And so, and also, if you guys can help me out, make a note. Not right now, but after this is over, go and put a review on Amazon. I know you have done your homework, so if you can put a review, that would be terrific. I would really appreciate it. So it's all on Amazon, and I'll go ahead and pop this link over onto the chat so you guys will have it there, so you can pop it into the comments too. All right, now, here is the chapter on Malachi, and what I want to do, Miss Tammy, is I actually want to read Malachi 1:8 and let's see. Let's read 6 through 8 first. And I'm going to add that into the book so that people don't have to go, you know, to the Bible to read that. But anyway, I want to, before we even talk about how, you know, this verse 1:12, I want to read a little bit before that, so it really lays the groundwork for that. So, yeah, here we go.
Okay. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, then where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says Yahweh of armies, to you priests who despise my name. You say, how have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread on my altar. You say, how have we polluted you? In that way, in that you say, Yahweh's table is contemptible. When you offer the blind for sacrifice, isn't that evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, isn't that evil? Present it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or will he accept your person? Says Yahweh of armies.
All right. Yes, that's good. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Everybody love Tammy. Yay, Tammy. Thank you for being my Vanna White. So it starts out here, and I remember years ago reading this, thinking, what is, you know, the Lord is really angry with the people. This is super angry for the people just because maybe the sacrifice wasn't perfect. And I realize now that it was, I think this verse is sanitized. I think that, you know, it's contemptible sacrifices. They're saying Yahweh, that the evildoers are saying Yahweh's temple table is contemptible because they don't want to offer the sacrifices that the Lord had instituted, which was a perfect lamb or, you know, goat. But they wanted to offer something very evil. And they wanted to use the table of the Lord for their satanic sacrifices. I'm just going to cut to the chase. That's the problem. That makes sense now. That helps us to understand why the Lord was so angry. And it makes sense to us that, yes, the Lord would be very angry if they were using his house for, or any place really, for satanic sacrifices, but especially to be so sacrilegious as to do it on the altar of the Lord as if they were offering it to the Lord. And this was the problem. If you remember the competition that they had between, you know, Elijah, between the prophets of Baal and the Elijah, saying who's the true and living God. The prophets of Baal had convinced the people that God wanted them to offer children, and it was crazy, you know, but that's what they were convinced of. And then when there was this, you know, the fire from heaven came down, they realized that they had been tricked. They'd been duped. They'd been misled. And it sounds outrageous, but it's no more outrageous than, you know, what people have been duped into abortion. I mean, it's the same. It's really the same thing with a different name. All right. So I want you to see, if you want to know more about that story about the prophets of Baal and Elijah. It's in the book, 17 Bible stories. This is biblical. End times, this is biblical. I go into what happened there, and it's basically what we're having right now in humanity. All those stories are happening before our eyes. It's a showdown between who is the true and living God and who is not, clearly. All right, so let me back up. I'm going to back up a little bit more. If you start at the very beginning, this is another very strange passage. I know I'm going backwards. All right, so if you look at the beginning of the book of Malachi, it says, the word to Israel by Malachi, "I have loved you," says Yahweh. "Yet you say, how have you loved us? Wasn't Esau Jacob's brother?" says Yahweh. "Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated." I read this a few weeks ago in Romans chapter 9. Why in the world would the Lord hate Esau? And this right here in the very first part of Malachi, it really explains it. And he's made the mountains of Edom a desolation, and he's given his heritage to the jackals of the wilderness. In other words, destroyed them utterly. And now that we have not yet seen that fulfilled, because these are people, demon worshipers, we're soon going to see that fulfilled. We're living in the day when this is going to be fulfilled. Whereas Edom says, "We were beaten down, but we'll return and we'll build the waste places." He says, and Yahweh says, "They shall build, but I will throw down. And men will call them the wicked land." That's what we do. We're calling them wicked. Wicked. When they would do what they did at Epstein Island, that's wicked. That's evil. And we all know it. It's not just that we're calling some person back in thousands and thousands of years ago. We're calling out these individuals, that those people who went to that island, we're calling them wicked. And that's what he's saying, that one day we would wake up and realize who these wicked ones are, and we'd call them out as wicked. "Even the people against whom Yahweh shows wrath forever." All right, so that's with the groundwork in Malachi of why they're polluting God's own table. All right, so that's really our first our first question. Why was the Lord so angry with the people? And we're going to read 1:12 next. Malachi 1:12 and Malachi 2:7-8. All right, so you want to, okay, go ahead.
Sure. Okay, "But you profane it when you say Yahweh's table is polluted, and its fruit, even its food, is contemptible. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of armies. But you have turned away from the path. You have caused many to stumble in the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi," says Yahweh of armies.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so they were saying, to offer a lamb is contemptible because that won't satisfy God. You see what I'm saying? That's what they would convince the people, because he said, you've got to bring a worthy sacrifice. You've got to bring something precious to you, like a baby. Does see how they tricked them? You see how they tricked the people? And so, we've heard about this back in, Aztec societies and all these, this is what they would do. We've heard of them. Oh, they have to offer a virgin, whatever, we know what this would happen in the deepest, darkest jungles. But this is what the Lord was talking about in Malachi. And so it wasn't just that, they didn't bring their best. That's what we kind of thought it meant, but that's not what it's talking about. Of course we need to bring our best to the Lord. I'm not saying we don't need to bring our best to the Lord. I'm saying this is about something pure evil. Okay? And that's why the Lord was so angry. Makes perfectly good sense right now, everybody. All right, so he says, and the priests should have directed the people to do the right thing. Right? They should have, they're speaking on behalf of the Lord. They should be directing the people to knowledge. And the word of the law is in their mouth, should be in their mouths, but it's not, right? You're supposed to be a messenger, a prophet of the Lord. You're purporting yourself to be a messenger of the Lord, and you're anything but. And that's what the Lord was so angry about with the prophets, the priests rather. "You've turned away from the path, and you've caused many to stumble in the law." That's the problem. If they just were going to do the wrong thing themselves, that'd be one thing. But they are put up on a position as a pedestal. Oh, listen to this person. They know the way to lead you to God and what God wants you to do. And they led the people to do demon worship. Okay, so now you see, and everybody sees, you know, what how it was so, so awful. And the Lord had to show clearly this was evil. And it couldn't just be like, oh, this is just a minor infraction. He needed to make it very clear that this was awful, evil, you know, wouldn't be put up with. Okay, so how did the priests fail to preserve their society? Malachi 2, 11 through 12.
We just do 12 or 14?
Oh, 11 through, yeah, through 14. Thank you, Darlene. Yes, 11 through 14. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. Yahweh will cut off the man who does this, him who wakes and him who answers, out of the tents of Jacob, and him who offers an offering to Yahweh of armies. This again you do. You cover Yahweh's altar with tears, with weeping, and with sighing, because he doesn't regard the offering anymore, neither receives it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, why? Because Yahweh has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and the wife of your covenant.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay. So this is a lot here. There's a lot here. So the Lord was had cut them off and was not blessing them, and they knew that he was going to, you know, he was withholding the rain, he was withholding the blessings, and that they were going to be kicked out of their land. And they're like, why is he, you know, we're doing all these great things, and we're offering him our babies, right? They're like, well, he should be happy. It's just, it's sick, right? But that's how they were misled so much. And this again, you covered the altar with tears. It's Yahweh's altar, and with weeping and sighing. Why? Because Yahweh has been a witness. Now the other reason, and this is how it all started, when it goes to verse 14. Why? Because Yahweh has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you've dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and the wife of your covenant. So you're like, oh, how? I don't understand the connection between what's happening with the sacrifices and what's happening with the wife. Okay, so I'm going to try to draw that connection for you. So do we did you have that answer down, Miss Tammy?
Well, you know, the priest gave them permission to divorce those good wives from their youth and then allowed them to marry these women who are the worshipers of idols and idolatry, and brought that into their homes and their lives.
Yes, exactly. And remember what the Lord told when they went into the promised land. He said to eradicate all these Canaanites, and we didn't necessarily understand why. Well, it's because they were demon worshipers. And that's why the Lord said to get rid of them all these people who do this awful thing, you know, and even cannibals, Canaanite cannibals. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. He had warned them. He says, if you don't eradicate them, then you'll end up intermarrying. It's not, whenever you see about intermarriage, it's not about one race can't marry another race. It's not about that. It's about marrying someone who is an idol worshiper. You know, obviously the Lord does not want us to have a connection, especially a marriage connection, with someone who is a demon worshiper, clearly. But these people would do these awful things, and unfortunately the men were carried away by whatever it was that carried them away, evil of it. Anyway, so that's what ended up happening. And so that's the connection. And they ended up getting, you know, then brought them into the temple. And then slowly but surely, these idol worshiper women convinced the priests, you know, and brought the good, you know, their evil priests in. And then next thing you know, they're doing all this evil in the house of God. Okay, does that make sense now? Does everybody, yeah, I think it's H. Clay, yeah, it hooked, yeah. Okay, so this makes sense now to me. You know, before I didn't really connect it I don't know if you guys did, but I didn't really see what the issue was. But now that we're awake, now we get it, right? All right. Anybody have any questions or thoughts on that before we go on? We'll keep going, and then you guys can put in the comments if you have something you wanted to add to that. All right. Go ahead, Miss Tammy.
Okay, so in Malachi 3:1, behold, I send my messenger, and she will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Behold, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire is coming, says Yahweh of armies. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and the launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer to Yahweh offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to Yahweh, as in the days of old, as in ancient years.
Yes.
Because that's, gold and silver.
Yes. But that's what he was really out for, just having the people, you know, walk in purity and fairness and protecting the babies. Because what is the demons know? Satan knows that if he can destroy the babies, then the society is, you know, gets snuffed out. It'll end the society. And that's what he's been trying to do from the beginning, is just, you know, destroy, especially destroying God's people. Though he's especially trying to destroy, you know, with making it so hard for Sarah to have a baby, making it so hard for Rebecca to have a baby, so hard for, you know, for the kingdom to come. He's been trying to snuff it out from the beginning. He's just trying to kill Jesus, right? And that's what they always do. And so he says he's, you know, going to end that, you know, stop them from doing that. He's going to remember mercy. The Lord will remember mercy. He could have said, okay, I'm going to wipe them out. But he says, no, I'm not going to wipe them out. Satan wants to wipe them out, but I'm not going to. I'm going to remember mercy. And he says, what I'm going to have to do is make the changes in them that are necessary. Like it says in verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Who will stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This is what it takes for people, for us to change. I mean, it's just everybody here in the chat, I feel sure, could say yay and amen to that. That sometimes you aren't willing to change until something very big happens, and then you're like, okay, I need to listen to God. I need to listen to the Lord. Whether you've hit rock bottom or you've tried it your own way and it didn't work, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I think I better, you know, do it his way. And that's what the launderer soap is about. And he's a refiner. He's a purifier. And that's what it was going to take for the people to change, so they would not fall into this evil trap of doing child sacrifice. Okay? That's what it was going to be. And then, as she was reading, Miss Tammy said in verse 4, the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to Yahweh, as in the days of old, as in ancient years. So all this evil will be stopped in God's house. Now, we've also heard very, very awful things about evil things going on in different churches, in different religious places. The enemy loves that. He thinks that's just, they shriek with hideous delight to use some place that's holy and to use it for something evil. They just think that's just so, just, they wicked delight. And so, no more. That's been happening back then, 2,500 years ago. It's been unfortunately happening now, not just at this Epstein Island, but also in other evil places that were supposed to be used for good. They used them for evil. But the Lord is refining humanity, right? Anything else you want to add on number 3?
I think that's good.
Okay, good. All right. So what was the Lord waiting for? What's he been waiting for since that time?
Waiting for us to wake up and fight for humanity. We need to be righteous, endure the hardships for his kingdom's sake, to be willing to lose our friends and family, and that has happened.
Yep.
And livelihoods, to be treated with contempt and to fight selflessly day after day. They say people we don't even know.
Right, right. And even before that, because I don't have this in the answer key, I don't think, but he was waiting for, if you remember, back in the time of Jesus, back in Greece, they had these temples. They've had them all over the world where they were doing all this evil practice. This was commonplace in the time of Jesus. This is what was happening. And so they're like, we're going to have to refine until humanity gets to the point where they recoil at the thought of it. And eventually that happened because, you know, as 17 told us, trust humanity. Humanity does not put up with this. And back in the day, they thought it was okay. It must be an offering to the Lord. And now at least the good news is humanity is there. So trust humanity. Humanity will no longer put up with such as that. We're not duped and fooled into thinking that this is an offering to the Lord. Okay. So he's waiting. He's been waiting, as you were saying, for the Lord was waiting for us to get to this point as humanity and for the gospel to go to all the world to purge this out and to get the people in every place where they recoiled at such a thing. All right. Number five, do you see the pattern in the minor prophets? What is the Lord going to do?
I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the perjurers, against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and who deprive the foreigner of justice, and don't fear me, says Yahweh of armies.
Yes. Amen. Lord's bringing down judgment. Bringing down judgment on them. Now, I want to make sure everyone understands it's sorcerers. He's against sorcerers. When you think of the adulterers, it is not just, yes, Coast Rider Masonic Temples, Shabbat Synagogues, thank you. Yep. And even in some of these things have happened in, I've heard, underneath the Vatican. That's what's been happening. So, but as far as adulterers, it's not talking about, there's forgiveness for them, someone who's made a mistake. I'm not advocating being unfaithful to your spouse. Please don't misunderstand me. But there's forgiveness for that, okay? This is where you've been adulterer against the Lord, doing, offering this evil sacrifices. This is the pure evil, okay? It's not a little mistake, but it's not something like a mistake that, go ahead, Tammy, say it better because I'm messing it up.
No, I'm just saying true repentance is a lot different than somebody who constantly continues to do the evil deeds and does it. So somebody who has done things that they truly regret in their past and they lay them before the Lord.
Yes, thank you. Yes. And I just really think that this whole passage in Malachi, but in context, it's talking about that the Lord is coming down to bring judgment on these Satan worshipers. The context is not about your plain vanilla adulterer, okay?
Yeah, we had a bad day.
Right. And so it's that this is the someone who's adulterer against the Lord. They've been unfaithful to the Lord, and they've gone after false gods. That's the adultery it's talking about here. Perjurers, not someone who's just, done a lie sometime or whatever, but it's someone who is lying against the Lord. Okay, so always when you're reading these things, so make sure you're reading in context of what he's talking about. Those who oppress the hireling, again, these people who are, trying to destroy humanity. And this is what we're seeing is happening in our country. The courts are so awful. Justice is turned on its head. And why? Because they're literally trying to destroy our country. They're trying to bring us down. It makes no sense. That's the only thing that makes sense, is that they're literally trying to destroy our country. And that's always what's behind what Satan is doing. He's trying to destroy their nation. Israel was just in its infancy, and he was trying to destroy it at that point with all this Baal worship and all the evil in the courts and the oppression of the people. All right, so that's what is number 5. All right, so now on to number 6, and I'll see if anybody had any other things to add on that. Yes, a very good point, H. Clay. They're trying to destroy the U.S. because we are key in saving the world. Yes, we definitely have that destiny. I think everybody realizes that. Okay, number 6.
Who will be able to stand when he appears, as the question is posed in Malachi 3:2.
Okay. So where do we have Malachi 3:2? Did we have that? I need it. Malachi 3:2. Okay, this one right here. Okay, here we go. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. Kind of like we were talking about before. But who can stand? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have an answer?
Humanity. Those righteous.
Yes.
Us.
Yes. Yes, we can stand. Here we are. We are standing and we are fighting. The fact that you have the strength and the power of the Lord to stand for what is right. I'll tell you this. Are y'all hearing me? This is a really important point. That shows that you stand in a blameless position as forgiven before the Lord. If you were not blameless before the Lord and forgiven because of the blood of Christ, you would not have the moral power to stand in this day when all this evil is going on. But you are standing, and there are a lot of people who are doing the right thing that they maybe are not awake. The Lord blessed you to be awake in this day. There are some people who are not awake, but we're standing on the side of justice and what is right, and to protect the children and to save our country. Those are the ones who are able to stand. The evildoers can't stand. They can't stand. They're continuing to lie and lie and try to, you know, hide the truth and obfuscate and get their judges to do false rulings and everything in the world, but they are not able to stand. And it's really, you know, I'm not to say I feel sorry for them, but it's just they made a very, very bad choice. The ones that we see who are doing evil, who are not able to stand, you just think their destiny is terrible. It's terrible. So I'm very thankful that we are able to stand because we stand in Christ. Amen? How about that? All right, so number 7, go ahead.
Okay, so here's one of the few passages from a minor prophet book that you hear read in church. Have you heard it? Do you know why it's read? So Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you say, how have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you rob me, even this whole nation. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says Yahweh of armies, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be enough room for. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before its time in the field, says Yahweh of armies. All nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says Yahweh of armies.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So before we talk about that verse, I wanted to just say that I was reading the comments, the chat, and Lenny Girl 71 said, the righteous are bold as a lion. Great passage. That's Proverbs 28:1. And that's why we are standing. The Lord has made us righteous and bold as a lion. Thank you for saying that. So again, the churches would always bring up this. They never read anything about Malachi except for the passages that can help fill their coffers. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that not to support the local church or a mission, but can we read the whole thing, please? Can we? No, clearly not. You know, again, because it's very highly controlled, and that's why you're here, because we're not controlled. We're reading the Word of God and connecting it to what is happening in this day, and we realize what's the truth. What Malachi was trying to tell us for 2,500 years. So will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you rob me, even this whole nation. What is the point? Is the Lord just wanting money in the coffer for the priest to use for his own jollies? No, his point is he wants us to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. And that is what you are doing. So, good job. Kudos. Every day, that's what you do. You fight, fight, fight every day. And if that means posting on social media, that means supporting President Trump in his elections. If that means supporting all these great patriots, whatever, like Mike Lindell, I always talk about, let's support Mike Lindell. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart to do to help his kingdom come and his will be done. That's the issue. That's the point. And it might be supporting a local church that is speaking the truth. It might be supporting a mission. Just whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do that you say, this is someone who's fighting to get the truth out. So you want to support them, right? You might support, you know, all these great patriots who are working hard online. I think, what's the name? One that we support, what's his name? He's Judicial Watch. That's one of the ones that we support that is, that we just every month, you know, because we know that he is on the front lines. We support Mike. We support, with MyPillow. We support, and on the Lindell Offense Fund, I talk about that, lindellplan.com, mypillow.com/Melly. He's definitely on the front lines. Judicial Watch is on the front lines. Different ones who are doing that. That's what he's saying. And then the nation won't be under a curse. Because the evil has taken over. That's the point. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough for. This is what we're seeing. Everybody is working hard day after day after day to have his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're all fighting, fighting, fighting for righteousness. We're fighting for the truth, and we're seeing a blessing that we can't even contain. I mean, it's just every day, one blessing after another. We're seeing our country being restored to us. Did you have something to add, Miss Tammy?
Well, I did, and it's funny that you read it, because that was just where I was at. But this is one of the few times where he says, test me in this. You know, he really doesn't say, a lot of times he says, don't test me. And he's telling, test me. The blessings will flow. And he's not necessarily talking about money. This is the time.
Yes. Right.
You just read
and
it.
Whatever, yeah. And I love it. There's another passage in the New Testament that talks about, you know, I don't want you to be in lack, so someone else will have plenty. You know, that's not mm-hmm. what the Lord is saying. He's wanting everybody to have plenty. So if whether it's financial blessings or, you know, supporting, you know, whatever you can do to support, and that's mm-hmm. even if it's the widow's mite, you know, mm-hmm. the Lord takes notice of that clearly. He says she gave more than anyone. You know, I know you guys are working hard, and you constantly are fighting for his kingdom. And that's the point. Yes. And that's when the Lord says in verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before its time in the field. The Lord is blessing our land clearly. The Lord is blessing our land just by having President Trump as our president. It's with... and bringing in RFK, like this week, here we are on the 9th of August, 2025, and we had this week where RFK, because we've been supporting this righteous movement, he's now removed the thimerosal mercury from the vaccines. He also removed the mRNA vaccines, quote, vaccines. So this is how the Lord is pouring out these blessings on us. You know, they're taking out the dyes out of the food. All these things are being restored because we are we're doing what the Lord has asked us to do. We are not robbing him. We are being faithful to do what as he's leading us to do so that we can bless his kingdom. We're seeking first his kingdom. I know I am. I know you guys are. Are you, Miss Tammy? I know you are.
I am.
I know you are. You really are. All right, so number nine.
Okay. Patriots, you've got to hear this next part of Malachi and tuck it away in your heart. During this battle, you have fought it diligently, day for the honor of the Lord's name. So his will would be done on earth. Who is Malachi 3:16 through 18 talking about? Then those who feared Yahweh spoke one with another, and Yahweh listened and heard, and a book of memory was written before him. And those who feared Yahweh and who honored his name, they shall be mine, says Yahweh of armies, my own possession in the day before him. And those who feared Yahweh and who honored his name, they shall be mine, says Yahweh of armies, my own possession in the day.
If you wouldn't mind, read that just for those of people who are on X, you could just read Malachi 3, 16, 17, and 18, and then maybe answer that question of verse 17 while I'm doing this.
Okay, so I just read that.
Yes.
But I will
read it again.
Okay, Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared Yahweh spoke one with another, and Yahweh listened and heard. And a book of memory was written before him, and those who feared Yahweh and who honored his name. They shall be mine, says Yahweh of armies, my own possession in the day that I make. I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who doesn't serve him. So the discernment is a wonderful part that I'm looking so forward to. So he's talking about you and me.
Okay. Sorry, I'm struggling to, I'm going to have to figure out how to do this.
It's saying, what does verse 17 specifically say about us? And it's saying that we are his own special treasure. He spared us as obedient children to him. And there's just a lot of people. This is a day that I'm waiting for. A lot of people love the Lord, but they're coming from different directions, and we're going to be able to come together and see the truth suddenly the same. And all those things that used to divide us will be gone. And that we will definitely know the difference between good people and evil people.